Today we're going to continue our message on the characters in the sermon. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount and through the lives of those people in the Bible. This morning let's go ahead and say the scripture together. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and on the streets. Be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I was trying to read a different translation than what's up there. That's sometimes what's happened. Sometimes you're used to one translation. The one translation that I'm used to is one that says, when you do your acts of righteousness. Now, the translation we read talked about giving to the needy, and giving to the needy is important. But an act of righteousness is basically almost what it sounds like. It's the act of doing the right thing. You know, it's the right thing. If you're making vanilla cake, the right thing to do is to not add cocoa powder, right? Because it might, that's not all. Do you think that'll change the flavor? No? You don't think cocoa wouldn't change the flavor from vanilla? Yeah, okay, yes it would, okay. I was going to say, you need to do some cooking with your grandma. Or maybe she has been cooking with you, and that's the problem. I need to go on now. But an act of righteousness isn't just giving to the poor. It's responding rightly in the right situation. But also, as we've seen through the Sermon on the Mount, it's also doing it with the right motives. And sometimes that's hard. You know, we're glad when people do the right things. Aren't you glad when people do the right things? I am, you know. If you come up to a stoplight and it's green, the other people actually see red and actually stop. Aren't you glad that they actually do what's right? Yeah, how many realize that maybe some of those people aren't happy about that red light? I'm sure none of you are that way. I'm sure all of you, when you've seen the red light, you think, ah, good, I have the opportunity to let other people pass, right? Are you saying you don't have that motive? But you're doing it. Why? Because you know it's the right thing to do. One, because you don't want to be in an accident. And two, you probably don't want to meet that guy with the uniform and the little flashy lights on top of his car. And the judge afterwards who will give you the nice fine. But we do the things we do oftentimes because we have ulterior motives. But Jesus wants us to do the right things for the right reasons. As we come through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to, especially in the next several sections, he's going to look about what we're doing. And are we doing it for the right motives? Are we fasting for the right reason? Are we praying for the right reasons? Are we serving others for the right reason? How are we dealing with the things that we have in our lives? And how are we doing with those? And what is our motive with those things? Are we doing the right thing for the right reason? Today we're looking at the reason we give to those in need. Because that's one of the things that as Christians we're to do. We're supposed to help those who are needy. Help those who need help. Sometimes people do the right things because, well, it's the right thing to do. You know somebody needs help and you give it to them. You come to a door and you're getting ready to walk through, you look behind you and see somebody struggling carrying a bunch of things, and you immediately walk in and you lock the door behind you and go, no, you don't do that, do you? You open the door for them so they can get through, or you offer to help them. Why do you do that? Because it's the right thing to do. And those are good things. And sometimes people do things just because it's the right thing to do. And we're grateful for that. And a lot of times people do it even with the right motives. But also, people do it for other reasons. In ancient times, they would grab their trumpet. Yeah, this is what they used to call a trumpet. And they would, let's see if I can pull this off. It doesn't sound much better than that, okay? Come and get it. Dale's going to give money to everybody who's poor. What do you look at that guy? I got money. So they'd sound the horn to let everybody know, hey, we're giving. Do you all want to know? If y'all need, come now. Now's your opportunity, you poor, pitiful people who need money. Okay, maybe they didn't put that part in there. But the truth is, Jesus says, if you do it with sounding the trumpets, make sure everybody's seeing you, you have your reward. Now, of course, there are two problems with doing that. One, you're patting yourself on the back and let everybody know, aren't I great? Or actually, isn't Dale great? Because we're doing this for Dale, right? The other problem with this is after somebody makes this big deal, if you have to go to that person, what does that do to the people who need help? All of a sudden you're having to come to this person and they've just drawn attention to everybody and say, okay, basically in one sense they said, okay, all you losers come forward now and I'll help you. That stinks, isn't it? Yeah. It's no wonder Jesus said that was bad. Yeah, you're patting yourself on the back, but you're doing it at the expense of everyone else. And Jesus says, you got your reward. And I think this is St. Charles speaking here. Partially you have your reward because you're patting yourself on the back and you're making sure everybody sees you. Also, you're not going to get another reward because you've just knocked everybody else down. Just a thought. So people would give for those reasons, so people would notice them and be seen by others. But along with that, I've also seen something that I think also falls into this area. They do it quietly, but they do it with the reason, make sure they feel good about themselves. Nobody knows how good I am, except me. How many think if I got that attitude, I've probably already got my reward? Yeah, probably hurt my arm too, trying to pat myself on the back. Jesus says this is the wrong reasons. Also, sometimes people seem to do the right things for sinister motives. That's an easy word too. Oh, wow, this is going to be a long day. Which brings us to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse number 32. It says, and starts off with the good part. It says, all the believers were one heart and one mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in all of them, there was no needy person among them. For from the time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put them at the feet of the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite of Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. The people in this new community of believers came together, and they weren't living communally. It wasn't they brought everything they had and then start distributing to everyone else. No, each person owned their own things, but when they saw somebody in need, they did something about it. The interesting thing about it is often what they would do is they would bring the money to the apostles, and they would say they would lay it at their feet, which meant they relinquished control and said, distribute it to whoever would need. And they would quietly give it to others. What would this do? This would, if someone was in need, they would quietly, they would give them what they needed, and there was no big deal. There was no shame involved. There was also no need to look around and say, well, I guess I've been picking on Dale this morning. Let's continue, right? Well, Dale was nice to me that day, so I guess I owe him now. What am I going to do to help make up that to Dale? I don't know. I know what I'll do. I'll use him in my illustrations at church. He'll love that, right? But there was no tit or tat. There was no, I gave to you, you gave to me. Because it was given in such a way as the needs were met without the drawing of attention, without the one person feeling less than another. Each one helped. Each one met the needs. They were in a community that have care. We care about one another. Hey, there are some needs that aren't being met right now. The finances are low in the church, in a sense. You know, I've got some extra over here. Let me sell it. Which brings us to this guy called Joseph. Also, we know him later as Barnabas. Joseph was a Levi. An interesting thing about Levites is they really weren't supposed to own property. The Old Testament said they weren't supposed to own property out in the fields. They had certain cities they were supposed to have properties in, and they weren't supposed to have it anywhere else. Their portion was supposed to come from God. But this Levite, had a piece of property. And it was in what in the Middle Eastern times was an actual very prominent area of the world. So when he sold this, he was giving up quite a bit. But he didn't make a big deal of it. We have no indications. It was recorded in Scripture, but I found out a long time ago, even sometimes when you give in secret, sometimes people find out. He brought the money and gave it to the apostles. Other people, of course, had heard about it. But he gave it for all the right reasons. I personally think that maybe he was convicted. He realized that he had been trusting his own ingenuity, his own wealth. And he also saw the needs of those around him. He's like, why am I holding this? I need to let go and trust God. And so he did. He sold it. He gave the money to the apostles. He laid it at their feet. And this, again, I'm going to mention this a few times because here's the thing about laying it at the feet of the apostles. It meant not the fact that they came up and put the offering right here. Now, they may have done that. But the reason they did that is they were saying, I'm taking what I own and putting it under your authority. It's not mine anymore. It's yours to deal with as God tells you. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for us to do that. We want to give somebody something, but we want strings attached. I want to control it after I give it to them. But ultimately, if we give something to God, we need to let go and let God have it. Now, I'm not against the idea of us having special funds and raising funds for special projects. But still, at the end of the day, we got to realize when we give to God, it's God's. I know a man one time who was doing some work at a church, and he cleared out this entire piece of property for the church and got it all cleaned out, looking really good. They were supposedly, hopefully, wanting to put a park in there. And afterwards, the church let it go. There were briars, yay tall, I think, through it. There was pieces of farm equipment in it. The guy cleared it all out. And the church let it go. Later, they thought, you know what? We need to do something to that corner property. And they had somebody else go out, clean up the rest of it, which wasn't nearly as bad. Now, it's just how they had now with high weeds. And they batted that person on the back and said, wasn't this person great? They got this place all straightened up for us. The original guy said, you know what? I did it for God. It doesn't matter what they do about it. Whether I get credit or not. I thought that's the right attitude. I remember hearing a story. I don't know if this one's true or not. The first one is. This one I don't know about. A man was struggling with letting go and giving God everything in his life. And he had a business. And he had felt convicted he needed to give it to God. So one day he said, God, this business is yours. So at the end of the day, he at 5 o'clock, he closed up the business. And instead of, like he would normally do, stay late to try to make sure everything was perfect, he left his business, came home, spent an evening with his family, went to bed, and slept like he had not slept before, except the phone call that came in the middle of the night. That said, his business was on fire. He got up, got dressed, went down to where the place was, and as the business he'd worked out for years was burning to the ground, somebody washed up and saw that he was not panicking. And somebody said, why aren't you panicking? He said, well, I gave this business to God this afternoon. And I guess if God wants to burn it down, that's his business. But when we give something to God, that's what we need to do. We need to be willing to let go and let it be God's. Because that's doing it with the right motive. Unfortunately, there was somebody else. Actually, a couple of people. A husband and wife team. You know, a husband and wife team can be a great thing. And then you can have people like this. It says, and now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. He brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What makes you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Some young men came forward, wrapped his body, and carried him out to be buried. About 3 hours later, by the way, this is one of the reasons many don't think that this happened during a worship service, because a lot of times people come to worship service together, husbands and wife do. So this was probably, they did this during another time of the week. He brought the money in, and now several hours later, Sapphira was wondering, where's my husband? He should be back by now. He gave that money, well, part of the money, to the church. And so let's go. So she went to see what was going on. It says about 3 hours later, the wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? It should have been a clue there. She should have realized she should watch out how she answers this question. Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Ananias and Sapphira, Here they come. They sold a portion of property, they sold a piece of property, and they gave it to the church. Well, part of it. They kept back part of it, but they, when they gave it to the apostles, they were giving it like, hey, this is all of it. Peter mentions that they are motivated by Satan. The word Satan here means the accuser or the prosecutor. In other words, there's something going on here. We don't exactly know what they were up to. Why would you give all the money to somebody saying, oh, it's all of it, and then keep portion of it back? Were they going to go back? Were they testing to see, are these guys really from God? Do they really know the truth? If we lie to them, will they know? Or was there something else more sinister in mind? Were they going to go back later and say, yeah, we sold this money, or sold this property, and we made out the deal with the apostles that they'd get a portion of it and we'd get a portion of it? Or were they going to do something even more sinister? Yeah, we gave them all that money, and they only gave... We gave them $20 and they only gave 15 away. What other happened to that other $5, I wonder? Maybe Peter put it in his back pocket, eh? We don't know what their motive was, but whatever it was, it clearly was not good. If anybody gave for the wrong reason, these folks did. They had something else in mind. Like I said, we aren't told why it happened. But what they did was lie to God. Interesting side note here. It was often believed in ancient times that if you stole a sacrifice from God or a god, you were required to replace that sacrifice. They had given this, and they were supposed to give it at the feet of the apostles. Guess what? They replaced it because they laid at the feet of the apostles. Their lives were given. What's going on here? Much like what happened in Leviticus chapter 10 when God instituted the tabernacle and somebody and the sons of Aaron came in and thought, we're going to offer sacrifice or we're going to offer incense in a way God did not offer command. We're going to do things not right. God at the beginning said no. And took the lives of Aaron's sons. Here at the beginning of the new tabernacle, the tabernacle where God is being in his people, God's coming along and saying, no, you cannot cheat me. You cannot defile what I'm building. After that point, God did not use those harsh measures. In the Old Testament, often more, though you don't often realize that he didn't, there are some incidences where you see God doing some things, but oftentimes people defiled the temple and did things that weren't right. We don't see God doing those things. Later on, we don't see God causing the death of people. But here at the very beginning, God is like in the Old Testament saying, this is my work. Don't you dare cross it because there are consequences. When it comes to giving, we need to say, what are our motives? Why are we giving? Jesus says, when you're doing it, do it in secret. Don't make a big deal of it. This doesn't mean we can't give publicly. This doesn't mean we can't have campaigns or something. But ultimately, what it does mean is, why are we doing it? And what are we doing? And realizing, if we're doing it to let people see us, we've got our reward. And this isn't the fact that God's being mean to us and saying, well, you've got it, I'm not going to give you anything else. No. It's because when we do it with the right motives, God can reward us in a way that is much, much greater. Much, much better. And that's the problem sometimes. We think we know better. Oh, if I do this, I better let everybody know. That way, I can get something out of it. And if we do that, we rob ourselves. Now, there is a time to let people know that you're doing something nice. I kind of like sometimes to know who's done something nice to me. And it's also sometimes nice to know, I don't know where it came from, but I appreciate it. Because I know, ultimately, that person will be rewarded by God. So when it comes to our giving, we need to realize we need to be giving for all the right reasons. And also we need to be giving, as they said, freely. Because why? Because ultimately everything belongs to God. God created the world. God created the strength we have to do what we can do. So we need to realize that it's not ours. It's God's anyways. And so when we give it, we're not giving anything of our own. If I reach into my back pocket, draw out a $100 bill, and say, here, Dale, find somebody needy to give it to. I really wish I had that. That would be a great illustration. And you'd go... it would kind of be easy for Dale to give that away, right? Why? Because it wasn't his. But all of a sudden, if it's his last $100 and his car's broke down, it's going to be a lot harder to give that away. But when we realize everything belongs to God, when God moves in our hearts, we're just giving back to God what's his. We don't need credit for it. We're just doing what's right for the right reason. And here's the wonderful thing. Though it all belongs to God, when we do the right thing for the right reason, even if all we're doing is giving God his own money, God says he's going to reward us. That's kind of cool. That's kind of really, really cool. We have nothing we can do to take credit for other than the fact that we're giving to God what's his already. But when we do it, God says, I will reward you. I'll reward you. But we have to be willing to let go. Give it to him and put it all in his hands. Because ultimately, like I said, it's his. Are we going to do what we're going to do for the right reasons? Because if you do, that will bring you the greatest reward. I want you to remember that and think of that this week. Now we're going to stand and sing together about the many blessings God's given us. We're going to count our blessings this morning. So if you stand together, let's sing.
When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one.
Dear Father, I ask now to have each one as they leave this place today, remind them of their blessings and the ways you've watched over them and ministered to them. And Lord, let them share those blessings with those around them. Fill their hearts with joy and peace, I ask, In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you, and go with God.